After dark on a Tuesday, so buckle up, just like the old days when we used to roll on Tuesday nights. Man, we did that for a long time, like 2.5 years. Seems like old hat. Seems like old times again, almost. So I promise you guys on Saturday, Pain After Dark, and it just takes, sometimes these things just take an extra day or two to put together. Patience is a virtue. You learn that when you get older. And also, good things come to those who wait. And yes, I'm calling this a good thing. I like the way it went. It was a great interview, I think. And you can tell by the music where this is going. It's another dose of government insanity on the Thomas Paine podcast. For subscribers only on patreon.com/troop100 and subscribestar.com/troop100. We're working hard here for you 7 days a week. Able to leap a tall building, whatever. Able to overcome viruses, etc. We just keep rolling. We don't think too much about it, to be honest with you. Right? When you're born and you got to go to work, you're like 12 years old, you got to start hustling. To make some money, you don't have the luxury back then of worrying about a lot of things that other kids worry about. Instead, you got to hustle, and it's no different now. When you have a family of your own, you're always hustling. You don't feel well, tough shit. Get up, brush yourself off, and get back to work. We have work to do here. Tonight you're going to meet Decorated Green Beret, Jeremy Brown, and we had a conversation I think that you'll find very interesting, as both he and I found interesting. And we find out that, you know, when you chew a lot of dirt for the U.S. government, well, there's a common ground there. A lot of people don't understand certain speak, etc. Thousand-yard stare and things along those lines. It's nice when you run into somebody else with the thousand-yard stare. And they're not looking to kill you. But Jeremy Brown is a Green Beret. He served in the United States Army from 1992 to 2012. Special Forces Master Sergeant. He's been around. And one of the places he's been around recently was Washington, D.C. on January 6th. And back in November, he joined up with the Oath Keepers. They asked him, hey, you want to join up? And he said, I think I can help you guys. Provide you guys with some leadership. And he is a leader. You can tell by the way he talks. He talks like a leader. He is a leader. And guys like that become dangerous. Charisma, charismatic, etc. That attracts the other side. That attracts the FBI. That attracts Homeland Security, and that's what it did. And the FBI paid Jeremy a little visit and tried to recruit him to work undercover against Oath Keepers, etc. And I told you guys for years now that this is how these operations are run. The FBI is running these operations, all of them, all of them. And then they can either discredit these operations from the inside, or they can use them and pit them against each other. Both keepers. Let's see, who else? There's so many. Proud Boys. We're finding out the level of FBI infiltration into the Proud Boys. You have the leader of the Proud Boys was a government rat. And now we find out that Joe Biggs also was cooperating with the FBI. Discussing all types of intelligence for the Proud Boys and bouncing things off the FBI in Portland, etc. And this went on for a long time. Joe Biggs' attorney has come out today publicly to say that, hey, Biggs is not a bad guy. He's been dealing with the feds. And now the feds set him up, etc. Basically, if you read between the lines, that's what's being said. Of course, these people never fucking learn that you don't trust the FBI. Can't. You can't do it. Because people think that they're doing good things by working with the FBI and you end up indicted. Now, Jeremy Brown, I think, would have ended up indicted for one thing or another. When they come and they try to turn you into an asset, right? Didn't work out so well for them. Jeremy turned it on him. Of course, we know, you'll hear he and I discuss, the FBI thinks that they're fucking the bee's knees at turning confidential informants, but it's easy to turn a confidential informant who's committed a crime to work for you. Not so easy to cultivate an asset who hasn't committed a crime, where you have no leverage, where you have to go in and use charm, street sense, sweet talk, etc. Money doesn't always cut it, although he was offered money. Money doesn't always cut it. You have to have a rapport, and you have to build a rapport quickly when you're trying to turn an asset. And the FBI just doesn't have that wherewithal and that level of talent, as far as I'm concerned. From what I've seen in my career, 35 years, they just don't have that degree of talent. That's special ops. That's tier one operators, Navy SEALs, etc. High level guys, DIA, CIA. Real tradecraft. And these FBI guys basically come off as cowboys when they can't use fear to twist you into a mental pretzel and put you in a compromising position, having to turn rat for them, then they really don't have much else to offer besides money, and that doesn't always cut it. And they're certainly not going to trick a Green Beret 20 years. That's not going to happen. 20-year Green Beret. Expert in human intelligence. It's not going to happen. So it didn't work out very well for them. And Department of Homeland Security, where's one of the photos? Let's go to the videotape. We get this photo. Here's a picture of these dopes on his doorstep in November coming to recruit him. And it goes on and on and on. And then they had a subsequent meeting at a restaurant. Well, I'll let Jeremy tell the story because it's good. And we talk about so many different things and great conversation. Happy to bring it to you folks. And I'm glad Jeremy came out and talked about this in public because I think it gives him a higher level of personal safety than not saying something. I know how these guys work, of course. Better than most. We'll just keep it at that. Great story. Smart guy. He's running for Congress down in Florida. So keep an eye on that as well. And I'll put a link to a previous interview he gave, I think a week or so ago, where he rolled out some of the taped conversation of the FBI trying to flip him to an asset. It's really sad as far as technique and stuff, but I'm not surprised. Look at these dopes. I mean, come on. What do you think these guys are going to do? hey man, hey man, let's wear our Skechers and our faded jeans, man, and a golf shirt. We'll pretend like we're normal dudes. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, it's sad. But I think that if Jeremy weren't as smart as he is and didn't go through what he went through, chewing dirt for the Uncle Sam, he'd be in big trouble. He'd be in big trouble. At a high level, of course. High level. And that really worked in his favor here. So let's do that. Again, I'll throw a link in there if you want to follow up. Because we talk about so many different things beyond the FBI attempted sting, which I think is interesting. But I think what we went into and the areas that we went into beyond that, why there are guys like this, right? Why these guys are out bebopping around. I think that's a much more interesting conversation, the direction this went. And that's the whole point, to do something different. So we're not going to do Pain in the Morning on Wednesday. This is going to be it because we've been breaking our ass here and been under the weather, etc. And we spent a lot of time on this today, and I want to roll this out to you guys instead. Instead of talking about the news, the bad news, etc., blah, 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 blah. One thing after another. Be nice to take a break from the news for a day, to tell you the truth, for me personally. Like I said, it'd be nice to take a break. The music just took a break on me, so I'll take that as a sign. And we'll be back on Thursday with Pain in the Morning. And take this long-form interview, and hopefully you garner something from it and you gain something from it. And then we bounce back here again on Thursday, pick up right where we left off. I feel a lot better. A lot of people have asked. I feel feeling a lot better, and there'll be more to report on at a later date when the smoke clears. There's a lot of things to talk about. You won't even believe some of the things. We're just gonna keep our mouths shut until things blow over, right? But right now we go down to Florida, little Blue Bayou action, close enough to Florida. And it always is a Blue Bayou when you beat the feds at their own game, believe me. And so continued success to Mr. Brown and his campaign for public office, and also his family and friends. And chalk one up for the good guys here. Hopefully continued safety as well. Same to you folks out there. Thanks for your support. And I'm happy to deliver a Pain After Dark. We had one on Saturday night anyhow. We put one together on short notice, use a little bit of magic, and now we did what we said we were going to do Tuesday night. So enjoy it. Take care of yourself. God bless you.
This is Jeremy.
Hey, Jay. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. Thank you.
Thanks for checking in. I wanted to spend some time with you because I think your story is more than compelling, as you are probably figuring that out with the media media request.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because no mainstream media, but that means that it must be good. I'm not trying to give them kudos. I'm just saying that it's amazing how much alternative media has kind of latched onto this story, and how much it's been ignored by everybody else. So I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to speak out.
No, it's good. I mean, I know you got, you're a busy guy and there's a lot of things going on. Where do you want to start at? You're a veteran now of media interviews. So,
well, I'm kind of a free thinker. I only occasionally write down notes of things that I'd like to hit, but, because, you know, these days there's just so much content out there.
Yeah.
You know, somebody like me who just wants to be left alone.
Oh, I'm the same way. I want to be left alone.
Yeah, and ignore what's going on. there's not enough time. There's not enough hours in a day. But we can go however you like. I mean, I have no script.
Well, you worked. You know, obviously, you worked at Intel. I worked for a long time at Intel, so I know how these guys operate. I worked for these guys, and then, you know, eventually they always come after you.
Yeah,
it seems to be the pattern. So I went through that. My family went through that. So. Go ahead.
You know, special forces. You know, we're not actually considered intel, but we do run our own human intelligence networks, right. And that's really how we gather our targeting. Not being a tier one unit, we're kind of the we're expected to go out there and really kind of make our own way. And so it actually is. I prefer that to because my last rotation in 2009. We ended up having to pick up the target load for what was at the time referred to as Task Force North, but it was the Delta Task Force. And because the Iraqis, it was all manipulation of the situation, right? They made up some excuse to restrict U.S. unilateral operations by claiming that some operation went bad, when in reality, it was actually the Iraqis that made it go bad. But anyway, so they restricted all unilateral operations, meaning that you had to have host nation troops. Well, you know, tier one guys don't typically have host nation counterparts, but that's exactly the way special forces operate. So special forces, my ODA, 12-man ODA, we were running operations with a 100-man Iraqi SWAT unit. So in essence, we're just kind of the trainers, advisors, and assisters. So they call us up and they said, hey, you know, we need you guys to come along on our operations in order to provide your Iraqis as our, you know, our host nation FID force so that the guys could continue to play whack-a-mole. So that's what we did. And, man, I tell you, those guys, they run nonstop. You know, people say the tier one guys eat, sleep, and whack-moles, and that's exactly what they do. So. It was kind of funny, but it's just a reference to the differing levels of assets and support mechanisms that go into to make the two different forms of operations go down. But.
Well, you know a lot about assets and cultivating assets, so this is probably something that set bells off in your head, because when I read your story, I said it set bells off in my head. So I'm figuring, you're a ground zero there, so.
It just goes to show how incompetent, our government is. Because, in fact, after the first interview, which really is the best interview to get a grasp on what happened, is the Brandon Gray interview at Just Another Channel. Because we literally, he had the video, he had the audio, and we just, you know, whenever something happened, we stopped and went through line by line. So I definitely recommend. If you haven't already, go in and listen to it. But my buddy calls me afterwards and he's like, man, he's like, what were those guys thinking? Like, you totally gave them a high school education on how to conduct a personal meet. So it's like, I don't know, man. I guess maybe they didn't do any background, or maybe they just, who knows what goes through these people's minds when they attempt to do what they do.
Often they're poorly prepared in their.
When you get them, they're barking. Hey, I apologize if you hear wild animals barking. That's just the sound of liberty. Liberty's one of my two Australian shepherds. Yeah, let them in, because don't you hear them barking? Well, sorry.
If they want to come in, it's shepherds.
Well, here's the problem is that we have wild peacocks in our backyard, and it's mating season. And so they, if you've never heard peacocks mate, the males let out this cry, you know, kind of like a politician, right? You know, they're all talk, right?
Yeah.
They fan out their tails and they scream. Well, every time they do, my dog want to go out there and see what the hell it is. So you have them inside, they hear a peacock scream, they bark and like ram out the door. So I apologize in advance.
No, that's okay. So what happens? These guys, and I was going to say to you just before that, these guys are often not very well prepared. They just kind of show up at your door and wing it. They think because they have the shield and they'll scare you into doing whatever they want, et cetera.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I refer to the Keanu Reeves, you know, I'm an FBI agent thing a lot because, you know, that's kind of the mentality that they have. It's like, oh, you know, I'm an FBI agent. I can walk through walls or I can do whatever. It's like, no, you look like a buffoon.
Yeah, it's more like his partner, Gary Busey, in the movie than it is Keanu Reeves. Telling him to go get two meatball sandwiches right before the bank gets robbed.
Yeah. And, you know, we laugh about it because we have experience, right? And if you don't laugh, you'll cry. But when I sit back and I look at this, because, yeah, I've had hundreds of emails of people, right? You know, I spent 20 years in special operations. Like, my mentality is not normal. And I've realized that since I retired, and it's kind of been a struggle. But, you know, you just take for granted how, you know, and I don't know how, if I use language that's not appropriate for your listenership, please let me know. But I mean, you get used to how screwed up everything is, right?
You don't have to self-edit yourself on here, man. I drop F-bombs all the time. I mean, guys, I am
a soldier.
Yeah, so. We let it rip.
No, but I mean, you lose perspective on really how fucked up it is because we're on the Ebuchadnezzar, right? In the Matrix. Yeah. So we understand it, but everyone else doesn't. And so, yeah. And I think that really is a perfect, a picturesque example of what we're living through is that you've got the real world and then you've got the Matrix and those that get pulled out of the Matrix by being red pilled or woken up or start to kind of slowly wake up. Yeah. It is a shock. And because I would consider myself awake since probably 07 when I first realized that, you know, 9/11 was not what we were told. It's shocking, right? I mean, I still, for 2 years, I've been trying to wake my girlfriend up. She listens to me all day, every day. And even she's probably only at like 30%. Right.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to bring people. I compare it to trying to pick up a hitchhiker at 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah. She's shaking her head like, no, I'm not at 30%. But but every single day, something is said, something she hears something, she sees something, or she catches me commenting on something, and she's like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, you don't know about this? So she probably thinks that she's awake because, you know, she listens to some of the sources of information, but it's so vast. The amount of evidence for everything is so vast, which kind of brings me to, you know, my point of this whole thing of being out here and coming forward is, and it's one of the things that I also told the Oath Keepers, is that so many people, that even the awake ones, they really have no full understanding of what it is. Like, you know, you'll have people that consider themselves awake, and yet they consider that the enemy is Antifa and BLM. Or you'll hear, you know, and I hear it all day long. I read trolls and things like that that are like, I hate this guy because he said this, or I hate that guy. I mean, within the movement, right? Within the, you know, the red pill or the liberty movement, whatever you want to call it. But just these people going back and forth, literally arguing over like the most nitinoid bullshit details. And they have no concept that that's exactly the strategy that's being used. I mean, we're literally being sprayed down with a fire hose of information that has like a little feeder line of poison in that fire stream, right? And what they want us to do is constantly argue over, was Ashley Babbitt staged, or was she actually murdered, or does she really exist, or this and that, when the reality is, who gives a shit? The big picture is a fake insurrection was staged and blamed on you by these criminals over there. So stop arguing with me, because frankly, I wasn't there. And in reality, there's only three entities that know. You know, the guy that pulled the trigger, the girl, you know, Ashley Babbitt, and God, right? Those are the only three that really know all the facts. The rest of us are just, you know, speculating. But what we do know is that those in D.C. are puppets of those who are operating this global attack against humanity from the shadows. And that needs to be our focus, not whether Alex is a shill, whether Q is this and that. Look, if you're relying on a journalist or a unidentified entity that posts stuff online to save you, then you are not on the right track. And it amazes me. And I try to get the message out. Stop.
Well, I mean, you and I sound like kindred spirits. I mean, I've been talking to people for... I don't know. I just stopped talking about that Q stuff because I'm like, this is obviously very sophisticated operation, and it's not going anywhere as far as what these people thought was going to happen. You know,
it's the most sophisticated operation. It is being run by state-controlled assets that we're paying for, by the way.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you can't, by the most evil people in the universe.
You can't break through to people. It's like it's.
And I will tell you, initially, I was like, oh man, there's some legitimacy to this. And look, I just did a show with a buddy of mine, Jeff Dow, who has started his own thing, and he actually was an NSA contractor. And so he has NSA level knowledge. And he's like, hey, you know, this is very, you know, a very legit, you know, the way they talk, the way they do it. Well, yeah, the reason is because it's bad guys on the inside using the 95% truth, 5% lie paradigm to get people to stand down. And it really wasn't until, you know, the COVID thing started to really break out, and then the Q, and I use air quotations there, the Q line of, oh, well, this and that. And see, my innate, my default is, well, we don't violate the Constitution in order to save the Constitution, right? I mean, that's right. The difference between us and them, good guys and bad guys, right? The ends doesn't justify the means on the good side. Now, with that said, don't get me wrong, within special operations, we do leverage the bad guy to get to the worst guy. But, and I will speak for every single ODA team sergeant and team leader out there that I ever encountered, we just didn't go through villages blasting people in the skulls because we thought they were bad guys, right? I mean, that's the standard, you know, handcuffed paradigm that the good guys have against the bad guys, right? We have rules of engagement and they have no rules of engagement. In fact, not only do they have no rules, they literally use our rules against us to gain tactical advantage. And so, it was when I started to see that whole, you know, people's rights being violated and then Q, you know, not just Q, but QAnon saying, oh, well, this is all part of the plan, because I don't want to be part of a plan that violates another person's rights and then claim that it's really to restore those rights, because that's just not, I'm not down with that. It like chicks with dicks. I'm not down with that. You can do it all you want. That's fine. You make your own choices, but I choose to not be that. And so that's when I really started to say, hey, this Q thing is really a psyop. And I mean, I don't want to offend too many of your listeners.
No, you're not going to offend my listeners, because we've been keeping it real here for a long time.
But this is the hard truth that many out there, and I don't like to really bring this up too much because I don't think people are awake enough on the 101 level to jump to the 401 course, but you really have to look at the big picture and ask yourself, was Donald Trump a Judas goat? Was he the good, a Manchurian style candidate that did good for 3 years only to actually usher in the fourth year, what we actually are seeing now with our own eyes? And, you know, I have a long list of things. And I was a very staunch Trump supporter because as a kid, I was a huge Trump fan. Like I watched every episode of The Apprentice.
Right.
And so, trust me, like in 2016 on election night, I cried tears of joy for my five daughters' futures because I thought, wow, I believe the narrative of this guy's not a politician, blah, blah, blah. And for the first 3 years, a lot of that actually panned out. But then, you know, I have to use my human intelligence experience and knowing how agents, double agents, triple agents, how the operational plan works out, where you have to build rapport, you have to build that level of trust, and you do that through acting, right? You do, if you're trying to play the role of a good guy, you have to do things that a good guy would do, or else no one's going to believe you. And so when we sit around and we look at the actual evidence, and just a couple of things, I mean, from November 3rd until January 20th, where was the Donald Trump fight that we saw in the first 3 years, right? Where were the rallies? Where was the, you know, if, for example, my main form of communication, let's just say hypothetically, is Twitter, right? And then they shut me down and totally limit my voice. Why am I not getting on Gab? Why am I not going to Parler? Why am I not going, why am I not on all of them? Why am I not raising hell like I did the first 3 years? And you really have to, you know, wonder. I mean, like, I saw Trump interviews leading up to 2016 on alternative media platforms, but where were those same interviews after 2016? Why weren't those platforms being leveraged to get his message out during the post November 3rd timeframe? And people can say, oh, well, he was laying low. We know Q's, you know, the QAnon community was, oh, well, he's using Sun Tzu, you know, to
yeah, that's, you know, that's one of their favorite fallbacks, yeah.
Right, which, hey, look, Sun Tzu is brilliant, right? I mean, every warrior should read it, but that wasn't what was happening because we're living in the result. Like, there was no secret, just let them, you know, give them the rope to hang themselves plot.
Q was using Sun Tzu. That's what.
Right.
Not Trump.
That's exactly
Q
right.
Q was using it against everybody.